Here's a test question for you. Now, see if you know the answer. It stresses students, it burdens their parents, yet it's a requirement of just about every school in America. And there's a growing amount of research indicating that it may provide very few, if any, benefits at all. I mean, you think you know what it is? Here's Ed Baxter of KGO Radio San Francisco with a parent-turned-expert who has the answer.
Well, it started with just a few minutes a day in first grade, and even at that, Sarah Bennett, a mom and practicing attorney, was concerned that her child was already doing homework. And there was more in second grade. Eventually, when both her children were coming home from school with hours and hours of homework, Sarah had had enough. Her kids were stressed out about it, and the overwhelming amount of homework was also taking the time away from her family. So being an attorney, feeling that there was something unjust about her kids' homework situation, Sarah took her case to the courtroom of public awareness. She is a co-author of the book, The Case Against Homework, and is a founder of Stop Homework, a project devoted to changing homework policy and practice that is affiliated with the Alliance for Childhood. Her website is stophomework.com. Sarah, thanks for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now, I just briefly mentioned, alluded to how you got into the homework thing. Can you go into some more detail on how it all began?
Yeah, you know, when my first child started first grade, and I had really no idea that children brought home homework so young, and I just thought it was a mistake. I didn't really have anything other than a gut feeling that at the end of a school day, a child shouldn't be coming home and doing homework. I mean, the funny thing is the amount of homework my child was bringing home was so minimal. Basically, he was supposed to write in a reading log what he had read that day. Now, of course, most six-year-olds can't write.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seemed silly to me after we would read to have him write down what he was reading. And I went in and talked to the teacher about it because that's sort of what I like to do is figure out if there's a problem and why. So I went in and asked the teacher about it, and I wasn't really satisfied with the answer.
What was it? This is kind of like training wheels for what was to come later then?
Well, get your child into the habit of reading. Now, you know, we already read in our household, as many parents do, so I said we already had a habit of reading. So for her to tell our family to read for 10 minutes a night when we had probably been reading for an hour or more since he was, you know, basically in the womb was silly. And then to kind of turn it into a chore by having him write was also silly. And I said, you know, he doesn't even know how to write. And she said, well, it's good practice. And I said, well, there's other ways to practice writing besides turning it into a chore from your reading.
Yeah, good parents.
I mean, the reason why I say the homework is minimal when I look back on it now is because I hear from parents all over the country. And just last week I heard from a parent of a first grader from Atlanta, Georgia, and her child is bringing home 7 to 10 double-sided worksheets a week. And on top of that, is supposed to read 20 minutes a night and do some creative activities around spelling words and do a book report every other week. So that's a far cry from what my children were doing and expected back then.
But, okay. And now you've talked to parents, I assume. I mean, she's not the only person that you've talked with.
Oh, no. For the book, we interviewed hundreds of parents. I've heard from literally thousands and thousands of parents at this time. I mean, what's changed for me from that was 11 years ago when my first child was in first grade is that since then I've done a lot of research on homework, and I discovered that homework in elementary school has no correlation to academic achievement.
Right.
So you can imagine I was pretty upset to find out that kids are spending a lot of time doing work that has no academic value whatsoever.
What about students? Talk to students.
Lots of students. You know, I've talked more to older students, high schoolers who are really stressed out, and middle school students because, you know, most young children are not on the internet, so they're not going to be writing to me. But I can certainly see, as anybody else can, the little kids walking down the street with those huge backpacks.
Yeah.
And their parents saying, no, we can't go play because you have to go home and do your homework.
But now, any student is going to say they don't want to do the homework. But if
sure.
you ask them in the end, and I've heard some kids say, you know, I didn't want to do the homework. But if they get serious about it, they benefit, their grades get better. What are the students saying? What do you say to them?
You know, people think that homework has some value, and so the students are going to think that too. And, you know, I can talk until I'm blue in the face and show you all the research that says that there's no correlation between homework and academic achievement, and you're still going to tell me, but I know from my experience that it actually works. So what I'm trying to deal with is sort of people's ingrained ideas about something that they think has value and then what the research actually shows.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's sort of like parents, you can tell parents the facts about that sugar does not make their children hyper, and you can show them as many scientific studies as you want, but they don't believe you.
Okay, well, let me play... I'm sorry, go ahead.
But I wanted to say something in terms of their grades. Yes, students' grades are better if they do their homework because homework is reflected in their grade.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a circular argument. It doesn't mean that they know anymore.
Well, but let me play devil's advocate with you for a little bit. Yeah, we're talking about 50-minute periods, especially in later education. 50-minute periods in school. Is that enough time to instruct in school? Isn't there something that an ancillary benefit that you can get by going home and actually reading the textbook and underlining it and going through it and trying to understand it?
No, not necessarily. I mean, there's so many problems inherent in the education system, and probably 50 minutes is a problem because the 50 minutes is not really spent on learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a few minutes taken with attendance and checking the homework and assigning the homework and, you know, interruptions for announcements, and so there's not actually that much learning going on during those 50 minutes.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that when you come home after a full day of school that you're any better equipped to learn, nor that you're equipped to learn the material on your own.
Okay, so let me read between the lines here. What you're saying is that if schools were more efficient, there wouldn't be a need for homework?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
If schools were more efficient, our students would know so much more than they do.
Okay, because it seems like, you know, it's kind of like a fire drill of some kind. Kids, especially in when they get to middle school or high school, they run from class to class, and they hurry to get there. And, I mean, there's no time, for goodness sake, to even shower after P.E. anymore. What would you suggest? Is there an alternate format? Is there something that should be done to make it more efficient?
I think we need to actually, you're asking such a huge question because we have to rethink what's going on in school from start to finish. We have to think about what time we start the school day and are kids fresh. We have to think about the way kids learn and how long of an attention span they have and how to maximize that and how to reach students at different levels. And the problem is that everything has become so scripted and so standardized that we've moved further away from what we... the brain research actually shows us in terms of the ways to learn.
Okay, and I want to get back on course, but I want to play devil's advocate with you for one more second here, so we get all this out of the way, and then we charge ahead with what you think about the homework. But the same way, you're not suggesting that after school that a kid comes home and picks up the Wii or the iPod or sits in front of the computer or whatever and vegges out.
No,
that's not what you're suggesting,
no,
right?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, all right. So,
But to play devil's advocate on the other side is if a kid wants to come home and watch 3 hours of TV, they're probably getting just as much out of that 3 hours of TV as they are out of those 3 hours of worksheets.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's really up to the parents, though, to turn off the TV and, you know, let their kids say, I'm bored.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bored. You know, that's where you really start to get some real learning going on. If you allow a child to have a few minutes of boredom and figure out how they want to spend their time before you know it, those young children are involved in so many different kind of creative activities, and they're going to be learning
so much. When you talk to school administrators, I mean, I've talked to some, and they kind of feel like they're caught in the system. And you know, this is what's demanded. This is the curriculum. This is what you do. This is the homework. Do administrators as a whole, do you think, and I know you can't speak for all of them, and it's not one big group, but how do they feel about homework? Are there those that are saying, you know what, maybe this is not a good idea?
There's a lot who are saying that, and that's what was so interesting to me when I was researching the book, because when I was a parent activist in my own school and I was talking to the school administrators, you know, a lot of times they would sort of agree with me, like they would say, I can see where you're coming from, I understand what you're saying, but I could tell that they had almost like a school line that they had to give me. But when I was researching the book, and I was fortunate enough to interview educators from all over the country and administrators from a variety of schools, and they would say, you know, we're in a bad place in terms of education. Some schools' administrators would say, look, I don't want to do it, but I do it because the parents are begging for it. They think that this is the way they're going to get their kids into the Ivy League schools, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that their children would be better off with some downtime or, you know, spending time doing work that the kids really enjoy. The problem is the kids move from activity to activity, you know, and from, you know, they bring home their homework and they zip through their math book and they zip through their English book and their science book and their history book, and they never really stop and think about anything that they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's a whole different issue, too, about tests and regurgitation and memorization and all of that stuff. You've mentioned several times research. I'd like to get into it a little bit more. What does the research show regarding the effectiveness of homework when you go through these studies?
It doesn't show hardly any effectiveness. That's the problem. I mean, you'll do better on the teacher-created test if you do the homework. Mm-hmm. That's a very circular argument. Of course you'll do a little better on the teacher-created test if you do what the teacher wants you to do, but that doesn't mean that you have accumulated any long-term knowledge or any kind of higher-level thinking skills, mm-hmm. because that's not what the homework is created to do.
Okay, so when you show this research to parents, what do they say?
Well, it depends. Sometimes they get really involved in trying to change homework policy in their schools. Sometimes they say, I disagree. I think that if my kid sits there and does 50 math problems every night, they'll be better at the math. And some say, you know, the school knows best. Mm-hmm. So you can get all different kinds of reactions to it.
Okay. How do you, it sounds to me like, and you talk about your first grader and your second grader. I know my oldest son, we had to until we stopped ourselves. He would go out to a restaurant with us, and he loved to read, and mm-hmm. he would hide a book under the table, and we'd say, you know, you're here with us. and then when he got in school, and they demanded that he do the specific assignments and stuff, all of a sudden it was like it wasn't fun anymore, and we'd say, okay, how come you're not reading as much anymore? And he'd say, well, they're making me do this, I want to read this. Or they'd say, why are you reading such an advanced book? We're reading this. Is there any way that you've seen that we can encourage kids to make it fun, to make it something they want to do?
If I had one bugaboo, this would be it, is that our kids don't read anymore, and I think that schools have taken the love of reading away from children. So, and I experienced the same thing with my own child. And what the literacy experts say is just let the children read. Stop everything else that we're doing around the reading. Stop making them log the books when they're little. Stop making them make dioramas about their books. Stop having them look up vocabulary words or answering questions at the end of the chapter, and just encourage them to read whatever they want to read.
Now,
and then they'll go back to reading, and you know what? They'll be great readers, and their vocabulary will be so much better than just by, you know, how much vocabulary are you really acquiring when you're memorizing 10 words a week? Mm-hmm. But if you're reading, you know, if you're reading an hour a night, you're accumulating so much more than you are by the drill.
Yeah, and our oldest son, the boy I was talking about, after we realized that we shouldn't make him put the book away at the table if he wanted to read, that he should read. He's done very well on tests all his life, and I asked him why. He's a grown man now, and he said, "Well, because I taught myself to think." Does that make any sense to you?
Exactly. Well, that's exactly how I got into this. I mean, there were so many reasons, but I also had a first child who was very curious, incredibly articulate, a very sophisticated reader who was coming home with homework that was so silly but time-consuming. And I just didn't want to stop that love of learning from whatever it was. You know, stop and, you know, when's the last time you read a book and then you went out and you decided that you were going to make a movie about the book that you read, or that you were going to cook a meal based on what you read, or, you know, made a little doll out of paper clips or something?
Now, it's so, let's take, I'm going to play devil's advocate with you again. The answer, what do you say that homework is a kind of discipline, is a kind of form, it's a kind of, you know, not everybody who goes to his or her job later in life is going to be really happy with what the boss mm-hmm. does, that this gives you a formative way of saying, okay, this is stuff that I've got to do, and builds a discipline for later in life, for going to work, for being out in the real world?
Oh, you've asked me so many different questions there. Let me see if I can break them down a little bit. The first one is that to treat young children as though they're adults going to a job that they dislike is very misguided. So that's number one. And I think that's sort of inherent in the question. In terms of teaching self-discipline, homework is not teaching self-discipline, because self-discipline means that you do something out of some internal motivation, I guess I would say. And homework is something that kids have no leeway in doing. They're told when to do it, how to do it, and given no reason for doing it other than they're going to get in trouble if they don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the young years in particular, kids don't even have the skills to do it themselves. So it's really about parental responsibility, not the child's responsibility. So you will hear when somebody says, and most educators at this point know that there's no correlation between homework and academic achievement in elementary school, so they'll say, well, we give it so that the kids will learn self-discipline, motivation, responsibility, but nobody has ever studied to see whether that's actually true. And I think it's not true. I mean, I think as parents, we help our children learn to be responsible by telling them to take out the garbage or brush their teeth or set the table or whatever we do in our own families. And educators of young children have told me, if you really want to teach kids a little bit about responsibility in the school setting, then have them do it in school.
Mm-hmm.
All the kids put your pencils away or clean up the classroom or, you know, those kinds of things. That's how you learn how to be a responsible citizen.
Okay. What do you say to people who are administrators, teachers, or whatever, who have to set up a curriculum, who say, look, I have 30 kids in a class. We've got to be doing this. There has to be some kind of form. I can't give all this individual attention to one child. What do you say to them? How do they do this? I mean, that could go through public school, private school, unless you're getting individual homeschooling or tutoring or something.
Mm-hmm.
How do you come up with a curriculum? How do you do that?
Well, that's a huge question. I think that's almost beyond me. I mean, if I were setting up my own school, I have ideas of how I would do that. But I think at least in terms of the nighttime,
mm-hmm.
you allow the parents to take responsibility for what happens to their kids at home. And you can make suggestions, suggest that the kids read at night. Or you might even say, I mean, a teacher knows that this child is having trouble with the multiplication tables. You might send home with that parent and say, you know what, your child's having a little bit of trouble with it. Maybe you want to come at it from this angle or that angle, but don't have the other 29 kids in the class spend a half an hour doing it.
Okay. I want to get back to Stop Homework mm-hmm. and your total bailiwick. What exactly are you trying to do with your organization now, and how does somebody get involved in those kinds of things?
I'm trying to help parents be educated about homework and helping them learn how to advocate for their own children on different levels. I mean, you would be surprised how many parents just sort of throw up their hands no matter how miserable their home life is and just accept it. And I try to tell them to, you know, understand what the facts are about homework and go in and advocate for their child. And especially when you're talking about a child in elementary school, teachers are very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Amenable, I guess, to
mm-hmm.
parental involvement and are happy to make accommodations for families. And so if you don't want your child to lose recess because you told the child not to do homework because they were tired and you thought they should go to bed, go in and do that. I also try to help parents organize in their communities, whether it's organizing in a particular school or how to bring in the issue to the school board or the school district. So I would say it's an education and an advocacy.
Can you make this more personal? You're talking about the teachers being amenable to coming in. I mean, do you find the teachers, especially in the lower grades, that you walk in and you say, my child, Billy or Susie, has this particular problem or this particular thing, or I don't believe in homework. Do you find that the teacher's amenable and will talk with you?
Very. I mean, I think you have to be careful how you approach teachers, mm-hmm. and you have to kind of, especially if you're an advocate like I am and a lawyer, you tend to be a little bit more educated, or you may be, than your child's teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful about it, but your teacher knows a lot about education. You know a lot about your child, and so you have to try to approach the teacher with, we're all in this together, but when my child comes home at the end of the day, my child is really tired, and whatever your particular circumstances are. I get home at 6 o'clock, my child goes to bed at 8. I would like the 2 hours I spend with my child every day to be really wonderful mm-hmm. family time, and I don't want to spend it fighting with them over, you know, this assignment. Is that okay with you? Or
Yeah, the teachers got up on the vicious cycle too, isn't it? he or she.
Yeah, and yeah. Especially, I think teachers would be happy to teach without homework yeah. because, you know, they have to grade it.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. All you right, know? Now with homework so entrenched, I mean, it's part. Mm-hmm. it's part of the fabric of the whole system. It must be an uphill battle. You know, regarding the prevailing attitude for homework, have you made any progress so far with Stop Homework?
Well, I think so. I think it's slow, but since the publication of The Case Against Homework, which was about a year and a half ago, and another book came out at the exact same time called The Homework Myth, so the discussion of homework was in the media for a very long time. And there are schools that have changed homework policies over the last year. Only a few, but there's one in Wyoming, there's a few in California, there's one in Hawaii that have eliminated homework in elementary school. My new thing that I'm trying to get schools to do is get them to eliminate the zero as a grade, which is something that's very easy to schools to do and they haven't thought that much about. But if you think about it for literally 10 seconds, if an A is 90 to 100 and a B is 80 to 90 and a C is 70 to 80 and a D is 60 to 70 and an F is a zero, then when you're figuring out grades, all of a sudden, that zero has a very huge impact right. on a grade. Did you right. follow me?
Yes, I did. Yes,
and
I
so did. If you can move that F to be a 50 to 60, mm-hmm. then you're not digging a deep hole for a lot of children. And a lot of teachers give a zero for not doing homework. And so, especially in high school, you have a lot of kids, and I had a high schooler like this who's a very excellent test taker. And didn't do any homework. And so you could have a child who's getting 100 on every test and a zero for not doing homework and getting 50 right. as a final grade or a failing grade. And you can have other kids who are getting 60 on all their tests, but they do all their homework and they're doing better. They don't actually understand the material that much. But so the grades are not reflecting what kids are doing.
Why? So, I mean, you have this research. Mm-hmm. You go in, you've talked to parents, you've talked to teachers. Why is it so difficult? I mean, it almost seems like a no-brainer. Why is it so difficult to change the attitude toward homework that, all teachers, administrators, and parents have?
I think we're in a place in society where people are really afraid about kids' futures and don't know what to do about it. We don't really know what to expect from the future. We don't really know how to prepare for the future. And so there's this idea that if you just have kids working all the time, that there must be some benefit to it. So I think it's, you know, it's almost like homework goes through cycles throughout history. So we have to learn a little bit from history, too. And there was a huge push for homework after Sputnik. And then sort mm-hmm. of in the late 60s and early 70s, homework stopped. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a much freer time in society. And then in the 80s, there was a report called The Nation at Risk and showed how poorly we were doing in the international economy. And homework sort of ratcheted up. And that's where we are now. We're very afraid of being outpaced by other countries. And a lot of other countries actually are doing much better on standardized tests than we are.
And how are they doing on homework? You hear about the Asian communities, Japan, China, and certainly the commitment to excellence. If I can borrow a Raiders term here from the Bay Area, are they doing a lot of homework?
Well, it depends, and sometimes studies can be a little bit misleading. For instance, the Japanese, if you look at the Japanese, they'll say the Japanese do not do as much homework as we do, mm-hmm. which is true. They don't do as much, but a lot of Japanese kids go to after-school schools, mm-hmm. and that's not figured into that. So the thing is that the United States has always cared a lot about creative thinking, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas some other countries have been much more into sort of the standardized kind of learning.
The form and the mold, yeah.
Right? And so the question is, are we moving towards that? I think we are. And I think that's the only way we'll ever be competitive on those kind of tests. But something is going to be lost.
Okay.
Something huge is going to be lost. And the ramifications of that will probably not come about for, you know, we'll see that in 20 years.
Okay, on a large scale now. The large mm-hmm. scale, the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it's going to take? I mean, you're doing your work. Mm-hmm. You obviously believe very strong in this. You have studies. What do you think it'll really take to impact attitudes toward homework?
Oh, I think it'll take a parent rebellion. That's what I think. I think that the parents of 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds 8-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds have to say enough is enough. And then when you're talking about high school students, I think it's a mix. I mean, I actually think it's almost criminal what our high schoolers do, the way they work. They work harder than most type A parents do. And they don't get enough sleep, and they're very stressed out. And there's so many studies showing higher incidences of all kinds of physical and mental problems. But I think it's going to take some kind of unified effort on the part of parents and students. And then, you know, the early childhood educators, they don't like it either. I mean, a few years ago, I know that the teachers in San Diego stood up and said, enough is enough. That what, I guess, it must have been the San Diego Board of Education, but I'm not quite sure, was imposing all kinds of things on the preschool and kindergarten classes that the teachers just knew was inappropriate.
So if you're talking about a parental rebellion, I think I'm quoting you semi-correctly, are you talking about going to the PTA? Are you talking about just singularly walking to the principal's office and saying, my kid's not doing this? Or what, how does this
Well, I
how
think
does
it's on all different levels. I mean, I wish I knew the answer. If I knew the answer, I wouldn't have to have stop homework anymore, would I? But I think it's a matter of parents talking to each other and getting together. I mean, doing it singly, but it's always much easier to do something as a group. So even if you could get five parents in the class to go in and say, you know what, this just isn't right. My child is not having a life. My child's not coming to the dinner table anymore. My child's not getting enough sleep. My child's getting stomach aches. And, you know, you have a small group of people doing that and going to the teacher and saying, we don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, we want our kids educated, but you're only a kid once, aren't you?
Right. And you know what? No kid is going to remember back on their childhood and remember all those projects they did, but what they are going to remember is the time they had with their family. And if you're a parent, you don't want all your interactions to be with your kid. Did you do your homework?
Very good. Sarah, thank you very much. Really appreciate your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, the book is The Case Against Homework. Website is stophomework.com. Sarah Bennett, thank you again.
Thank you.
Many parents fear that if their children aren't assigned homework, they will fall behind in school. Yet, Sarah Bennett makes quite a case for no homework. Now, Joel, what will be the homework policy at the Arete School?
Bottom line, Martin, is no homework.
Oh, I love it.
Right.
I'm in.
Right, right. All the parents, right? Yeah. I know your kids went through school and everything, and you know what that was like, and we know what it's like for the kids. But it's not so much an issue of, well, do kids like it or not, because sometimes we have to do things we don't like and we know if they're good for us or not. But even the research is showing that at the elementary level, as Sarah Bennett was talking about, homework makes no difference, and it just makes a small amount of difference at the secondary level, but not enough to justify 3 and 4 hours of homework every night that so many kids are doing. And as we said, it stresses the child, it stresses the family. Time is taken away from family things that could be done in the evening. And the other thing, Martin, that's so interesting is that the current research is showing that whenever you learn something, you know, mentally you're learning math or spelling or something like that, you then have to get away from it for a day or so to let your subconscious work on this. But if the kids are constantly doing work day after day after day, that's like, you know, again, the body's a great teacher. It's like trying to lift up weights, upper body, every day.
Yeah.
The body,
your body never recovers.
Never recovers. Yeah, you don't gain any
it's not
strength.
Not effective.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So you have the same process here with learning. But because educators are so concerned right now about how the kids are doing with kids being disengaged and everything, we think by doing more of the same thing, we'll get better results. And that's not the case.
Less is better.
That's right. Yeah. And so no homework. However, at the Arete School, school's going to start or be open at 7 in the morning. And the kids, once they get up into the third and fourth grade levels, don't leave till 6 p.m. And the reason is we're integrating what is called now extracurricular activities. You know, if they're good enough to be a part of school after school, then we're saying they're good enough to be a part of the school day. So our school day goes till 6 o'clock. That way parents don't have to, especially for the young kids, rush back to school to pick up the kids. There are no latchkey kids. And the parents and the kid, or the teachers and the kids, get all their work done. So when they leave school at 6 o'clock, they're able to go home and be with their families and do reading for fun, family activities for fun, and not be stressed out, and really doing things that work against them to be ready for the next day.
Not setting up the conflict of the parents. You got to do your homework, and the kids, hey, I'm done, I'm finished. Or,
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
And how can everybody be involved with this?
Right. Well, again, Martin, if people want to support this kind of perspective and see kids who are really excited about learning and do so, so well in their schoolwork, they can click on Donate to support the Arete School and make a contribution that way. It's just below the screen here.